This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. 9:36 a.m. Friday the 10th of April. And before we get into more news and updates, let's take a quick look at the KLCI, how it's doing this morning.
Well, it's down almost 1% to 1356. The rest of the region, the markets are open. Korea is still up, although the Nikkei 225 is actually down 0.31%. I think it's going to be quite a quiet market today because some key Asian markets are actually closed for Good Friday.
Now, in about 15 minutes, we're going to be diving into the automotive industry with Bruce Clark, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investors Service. But right now, we are taking a look at SMEs. Because earlier this week, former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dr. Ong Kian Ming, and who's also MP for Bangi, he released a statement noting that the assistance for Malaysian SMEs has not been forthcoming by the government of the day. So in that statement, he highlighted several examples of small businesses, which he said are struggling with the disruptions due to the MCO.
He, however, did not specify the identities of these business entities, which include a restaurant chain located in a shopping mall and a manufacturer of non-essential items.
So for more on his thoughts regarding the needs of the SMEs, we have on the line with us Dr. Ong Kian Ming himself, former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry and MP for Bangi. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Kian Ming. So what are some of the main issues being faced by SMEs now that the government has yet to address?
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to congratulate BFM for your great coverage in terms of interviewing different SMEs and letting their voices be heard so that we are much more aware about the challenges that they are facing right now. I'd also like to congratulate the government for their stimulus package that was announced on Monday. I think it was very much welcome after the initial outcry that the SMEs have been left out. I think the increase in the wage subsidy to 1,200 per month, which some of my colleagues in Pakatan Harapan had also supported for 3 months, is something that is very necessary. And then also the 3,000 ringgit for micro enterprises as a cash injection is good. But I think there's still some gaps. Basically, I'd like to highlight a few. SMEs which employ a high percentage of foreigners, for example, and which have not been allowed to operate during the MCO, manufacturers of non-essential items, operators of small hotels, for example, and also F&B chains with high number of foreigners, which are not eligible for the wage subsidy. I think they will still suffer, and they would have to make very very serious evaluations of their business models moving forward. Property owners, although they have been given tax rebates on rental discounts that they would give to their rental tenants, they are not obligated to give these discounts to their tenants. So, for example, Singapore has passed a bill which has allowed, which will allow tenants who are unable to pay their rental to seek relief, to not have to pay rental for up to 6 months. We are not at that stage yet. I think people who still have to pay rental for their outlets, for example, at shopping malls and whatnot, have not been given discounts, I think they will continue to face these challenges. But I think the biggest question mark the SMEs are facing right now is under what conditions the MCO will end. And I think the better our preparations to end the MCO, even if, let's say, if it's lifted in phases, I think the higher the probability of the MCO ending on time or early. So if we fail to prepare, I think we prepare to fail.
Kian Ming, we'll come back to the MCO exit strategy in a moment, but I just want to ask, if the government were to announce another stimulus package, what do you think they should focus on this time? What are the gaps?
I think many people have asked for some sort of a temporary COVID-19 bill, which would perhaps allow for more flexibilities among all the different stakeholders in their contractual obligations. Whether it's tenants who cannot pay their bills or perhaps developers that cannot finish their properties on time or tenants or property purchasers that cannot fulfill their financing obligations on time. You know, all these needs to be considered. And I think this is part and parcel of the larger economic changes that we will have to adjust to perhaps for the next 6 months or so.
And Kianming, what about self-employed individuals as well as freelancers? I mean, just today we've had reports from the Department of Statistics that 47% of those who are self-employed have seen job losses. A lot of them don't have enough money to last them out a month. Well, how else can the government help these people?
Yeah, I think the Dossum study is very useful. Shows that 70% of the self-employed have less than 1 month of savings. And I think this should be read together with the recently released report by the Khazana Research Institute, which estimates that there are about 1.5 million workers in the informal sector, out of which a large majority are actually self-employed, are also working in the service sector. So I think the cash assistance in the form of the Bantuan Prihatin Nasional, BPN, which includes the M40, it helps a little bit, additional 1,600 to the B40, 1,000 to the M40. But I think the best thing the government can do to help the self-employed is to allow the economy to slowly but surely adjust to a new normal in the COVID era, which means getting the MCO lifted in phases, perhaps as soon as possible. But I think there are other initiatives that can be done. For example, to onboard more of the self-employed into the digital economy. One example is the Pasar Ramadans for most states have been cancelled for the upcoming Ramadan month. But Selangor is embarking on an e-bazaar initiative together with Grab to onboard these traders or these penjajas to provide their food via delivery services. So there are other ways in which we can onboard more of these self-employed people into the digital economy as practical as possible. And then there could be also better job matching initiatives during this time. I'm sure you've seen some ads by some grocery outlets which are hiring more workers during this time because of the spike in demand. I think these kinds of initiatives need to be pushed out a little bit more. And then in the longer term, the government should definitely encourage more of the self-employed to contribute to the employment insurance scheme, which is a form of social protection, because estimates are that maybe as many as maybe only 50,000 people have among the self-employed have signed up for the EIS.
And Kianming, let's go back to the MCO exit strategy, right? Have you given some thought to it, that how can we help counter the demand shock that the economy will face now?
Yeah, so right now the government has segregated the different regions into four colours or four zones, red, orange, yellow, green, by the number of cases reported. So I think that there could be perhaps a gradual lifting of the MCO conditions according to the zones. So green zones, for example, where there have been no cases, or yellow zones where there have been fewer cases, you can actually allow for more commercial activity to start again, let's say on the 14th. And I think an announcement will be forthcoming later today. And I think what the government can do is to prepare new SOPs that can be drafted by individual ministries under the jurisdiction of the National Security Council for the operations of or resumption of operations of various businesses and activities, so that there can be better preparedness on the part of the larger public and also of SMEs, and then also peace of mind among the public that, when the resumption of these activities start, there can be minimization of a second wave of infections happening. So I think the exit strategy is to have a quick of a transition as possible to a new normal. And I think this is something which can definitely reassure and help the SME moving forward.
So how important is it then for Parliament to sit on May 18th to debate the various stimulus packages? And at the same time, is it more important to put aside political differences and act in a bipartisan manner?
Okay, I think it's important for Parliament to sit on the 18th of May because this is what the Constitution requires. We cannot allow Parliament not to have a sitting for a period of 6 months because that would mean that the Parliament is dissolved. So that's a constitutional requirement. That being said, I think we need to have clarification and accountability of not just the various stimulus packages that have been announced, but also of the overall government response to the COVID-19 health and economic crisis. And this is where Parliament needs to play its role of having a check and balance. I think the notion of putting aside political differences and having bipartisanship is good. There are other avenues in which this can operate. So, for example, federal and state governments working together on various health and economic initiatives. You can have special committees that can be set up by the government where opposition and government representatives can give their inputs. I think the Penang State government has done that. And then in Parliament, I think we have to, myself, you know, I'm in the opposition right now. We can support the government, for example, if let's say they want to pass a supplementary budget to help SMEs and to help the larger public. But we should not also forget the role of check and balance, which is part and parcel of a healthy and functioning parliamentary democracy.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Kian Ming. That was Dr. Ong Kian Ming, former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, as well as Member of Parliament for Bangi, highlighting some of the issues still facing SMEs as well as freelancers when it comes to weathering this movement control order. And as he said, it is very important to start thinking about exit strategies at this point for the MCO. Other countries have also started doing the same, you know, looking at implementing staged returns to normal. And we don't know whether our MCO is going to be extended even just yet. That news is coming out today. But hopefully the government has already started to consider this.
Yeah, and I think a very good reminder that you know, we still need for Parliament to sit on May 18. It's important because that's where we really get that check and balance, right? Yes, the country is facing an unprecedented situation, but doesn't mean that we cannot still have that political conversation or that debate. Because, yeah, I think we do need to discuss what has been announced.
Absolutely. So hopefully we will see that sitting coming about next month. But right now we have some messages for you. And up next, we'll be looking into the automotive industry with Bruce Clark, Senior Vice President at Moody's Investors Service. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.